Chapter 4. May 9th of year 19. Marchenko 2. Now that thing is directly above them. Marchenko 2 is quite satisfied with himself. Adam is still fast asleep, and he won't wake him up. The boy shouldn't see what he is about to do. It is better if he doesn't know everything. Adam does not realize that an analysis of his blood found a kind of antifreeze. If he knew that his body had been genetically modified in such a way that extreme cold hardly affects him, it would be more difficult to keep the boy under control. Marchenko, too, is not naive. He knows that Adam misses his sister, and certainly that other Marchenko, who made himself into something like a father to the boy. He intends to solve both of these problems now. He will get Eve back and get rid of his alter ego once and for all. As he doesn't want any witnesses for that, he will leave Adam behind in Dreamland. He turns off Valkyrie's control system, and to be on the safe side, deactivates all radio channels except for his private frequency to allow Adam to reach him once he awakens. Then he checks his energy supply. He cannot reach the strange mass above him, probably a building, directly. He will first have to dig through an ice layer. During the last few days, he has reshaped his body so that he has only a small cross-section. The best way to get rid of the ice is for him to melt it. Therefore, his head now contains an electrical heater and a small turbine, which will blow heated water to make the channel for him to go through the ice. Basically, his body is a miniature version of Valkyrie. He had wondered whether to use the submarine, which was designed for this very purpose. But he would not have been able to hide this from Adam. He must not take the conflict with other Marchenko too lightly. It is enough that Eve is against him. Marchenko too accelerates by contracting his bell-shaped lower part. He looks sort of like a very slim squid. It is good Adam and Eve won't get to see him in this shape, which he only needs to get through the ice layer. The radar in his head shows him how cracked the underside of the ice is. It is overgrown with something that might be compared to lichen. How could this plant species get enough energy down here? And is it really a plant? He briefly thinks of the Enceladus creature, which consists of billions of independent cells. Perhaps he is now in the presence of the real master of Proxima Centauri B. Marchenko, too, suppresses this thought. He has to concentrate on finding a way upward. He carefully looks for a particularly suitable spot and starts drilling a tunnel through the ice. He moves ahead faster than expected. The ice should be harder, and therefore more difficult to melt as he progresses toward the surface. With its air temperature of minus 80 degrees, it is much colder up there than in the 4-degree ocean water beneath the ice layer. Yet the building above him is probably radiating energy, so that the ice here is also heated from above. After an hour and a half of work, he is almost done. The radar is still not showing anything, because it does not penetrate far enough into the ice, but the building is already influencing the magnetic field. Therefore, a significant part of it must consist of metal. 10 minutes later, the radar suddenly indicates a cavity. Marchenko 2 stops the drill turbine immediately. He has to think about this. The radar can't definitively tell him what the cavity contains. If it is filled with air, he must not simply break into it from below, as the water pressure would fill the cavity quickly due to the principle of communicating vessels. He has to assume that this cavity exists for a reason, so he should be as cautious as possible. How can he avoid an accident? He has to prevent the water from entering the cavity together with himself. For this purpose, all he needs to do is close off his tunnel behind himself. Marchenko too precisely measures the diameter of the tunnel below him. Then he widens his current position slightly and cuts a correctly sized plug from the side wall. He finishes 30 minutes later. The ice plug fits perfectly. He presses it into the tunnel with all his might. Now nothing behind him can move upward. Marchenko too concentrates on climbing again. He drills more slowly than before, and therefore it takes another half an hour for the last few meters. And then he is there. The cavity opens up, reaching far above him. It is not filled with air, but with water. However, the water contains much less salt than the ocean, so it must come from a different source. It is probably meltwater with some technical impurities. He turns on his searchlight. The floor of the cavity is covered with strange objects. None of them is longer than 1 or 2 meters. He swims to the first object he sees. It consists of a shiny material. He shakes it. Judging from the weight, it must be metal. The thing has a kind of wing with 3 rods attached, which end in small rings. One of the rods is bent in the middle at a 30-degree angle. The other ones are straight. He turns the object around and notices a sharp edge. It looks like something has been broken off. The edge is uneven, but based on the manufacturing quality elsewhere, this cannot be on purpose. He's probably looking at a piece of junk. He drops it. Marchenko, too, moves another meter to a second cube-shaped object. It is bright. He touches it and notices it is made from a soft material. There's a hole in the middle. He shines his light into it and notices a second object, which seems to be unattached. He tilts the cube over, and the hidden object slowly sinks toward the bottom. He catches it. It is egg-shaped and has an elastic surface. Yet on the tip it is dented. What function might it have fulfilled? Now it is obviously defective. He has probably found the garbage dump of the alien's building. They are not exactly environmentalists, he thinks, simply throwing their garbage outside into the ecosystem. On the other hand, this probably doesn't bother anyone here. He might be the first person to stray into this cave full of garbage. Marchenko, too, examines three other objects. They are all so alien, he can't even guess their functions. They must have been parts of larger machinery. He could develop better assumptions if he only knew more about the former inhabitants of this planet. And where can he find out more? He has to enter the building above him. While he is not yet sure that it is indeed a building, everything points in that direction. He just lacks the final proof. He aims his measuring instruments upward. Whatever fell into the garbage dump must have come from the building. The exit, which hopefully will soon function as an entrance, must therefore be above him. Yet the only thing he can measure from here is the presence of a large amount of metal. He slowly floats upward. His camera eyes notice it even before the radar. The massive wall above him seems to have a gap in it. He cautiously approaches. Could there be defense mechanisms here? Not very likely, as the garbage dump has no exit, so no enemy could approach from this direction. On the other hand, it is better to be cautious than to end his life in a cave in the ice. He wouldn't so much regret losing his own life, nor the ignominy of losing it in a garbage dump, but he would sincerely regret having to give up his intended revenge on the other Marchenko. He approaches the hole at an angle from the side, meter by meter, but nothing happens. The designers of this edifice obviously did not expect any danger from this direction. He finally reaches the underside of the building. It is electrically conductive, so it must be made of metal. 2 meters ahead, he sees the hole. He aims his searchlight into it. There's water on the inside as well. There's neither a filter nor a flap. He scoots a little bit closer. One thing is noticeable. The hole in the bottom of the building is jagged and uneven. If somebody built it this way, it must have been some very sloppy work, or the opening was constructed like this for a reason he can't readily guess. Perhaps it is intended to injure whoever falls down here. No, that is nonsense. It is much more likely that the hole was not made deliberately. Marchenko, too, runs a quick simulation in his head. A jagged pattern like this might have formed as the result of an explosion. The explosion must have occurred inside the building, close to the bottom. Perhaps there was no water in there at that point in time? No, because then the explosion would not have created such an effect. Water does not compress easily, and it passes on such enormous forces very well. If the interior had been filled with air, the hole would have ended up much smaller. He might be totally wrong, though. What if the inhabitants like to use forceful methods to expand their buildings? There's only one way to find out. He has to find fragments of the outer wall at the bottom of the garbage dump, fragments which fit together perfectly. Marchenko, too, measures how thick the material is he's looking for has to be. The remnants of the explosion have to be somewhere below him. He only has to photograph the bottom systematically and then run a pattern recognition program. Marchenko, too, starts working. He aims his searchlight on a spot at the bottom and photographs it before moving to the next one. After 24 minutes, he has covered the entire bottom of the garbage dump. He does a color correction, increases the contrast, and applies his pattern algorithm to the result. Piece of cake. A few seconds later, this part of his consciousness reports a success message. There are several fragments down there that were definitely once part of the outer shell of the building. But there's something else. At the bottom of the ice cave, there is something his algorithms classified as a living being. That object only has a tiny bit of energy left. Marchenko, too, is excited. What has he just found? Is that one of the inhabitants of this planet? No, His algorithms tell him the being down there shows obvious similarities to himself.